This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, KPP has been helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. If you have a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is February 9th, 2017. And of course, we spend this hour each day focusing on helping you do the best you possibly can managing your money. And of course, the emphasis is on investing, obviously, and trying to make that money grow for you as solid and consistent as possible. Minimizing risk is one of the things we try to do, but we want to maximize returns. You know, risk and return are interlinked. You cannot have great returns without large risk. And if you think you can, you're in the wrong business, because you have to take big risks if you're going to demand high returns. I don't work that way. I like to manage the risk. You know, manage the risk in the portfolio and accept, you know, not the best returns, but I like not going down when the market is falling and then try to do well when it's going up. I mean, there's a part of me that has to manage the risk in my portfolios. Just have to. Just got to think about it. What is your goal? Your long-term goal is to grow the money. Grow the money. How much risk do you want to take to do that? Anyways, from time to time, I like to look back, step back a little bit, maybe take a look at some of the basics. And we talk about technical analysis and fundamental analysis on this show, and what those are. Technical is reading a chart and the volume and the price movement of a stock and the market, whereas fundamental analysis is looking at the earnings and profit margins and, you know, returns on equities and assets and all the interworkings of the company and what's happening there. So I wanted to take a look at some of the technical analysis that we use pretty consistently here and that you probably should use. If remember, technical analysis never tells you what to buy. It tells you where to buy and where to sell. It gives you those kinds of hints. You know, it doesn't tell you what to buy, and it doesn't tell you when it just helps you. And it tends to be right. It's not always right. Chart reading is not a science. But some of the things we use are like exponential moving averages. Moving averages. Do you know what a moving average is? You know, a moving average is very simple. If you want to have a 10-day moving average, you look at the last 10 days' prices of the stock, add them up, divide it by 10, and plot a dot, whatever price that is. Then moving to the next day, you drop off the oldest day, add the most recent day, and then you have 10 more days, you add those up, divide it by 10, plot another dot. So you have a little moving average moving along, and that's what a moving average is. That would be a 10-day moving average. Well, what do most professionals use is we use 10, 20, 50, 100, and 200-day moving averages, a number of them that we look at all the same time. But there's also different ways to look at those moving averages, simple moving averages, which is what I just described to you, or exponential moving averages, meaning they put more weight on the average on the most recent prices. Just a different way to do things. Accumulation distribution. Well, it's kind of a momentum indicator. Are they accumulating the stock? Is it going up more shares on higher prices? Or are they distributing the stock? More shares are being sold on lower prices. Try to give you a hint of what direction the stock is going to go. Now, we talked about volume, how much volume is being bought and sold. But how about on-balance volume? That is also a momentum indicator. It provides a running total of volume and whether the flow is coming into the stock, the flow of money, or flow of money is flowing out. And money flow index is a measure of strength. These are all different kinds of index, and there's only a few. There's like 100 of them. These are only a few of them. So there's many, many indicators. Maybe you should start learning what those do. Now, would you like to know more about technical analysis? You can call our live listener line right now. We're open 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We're live. You can call anytime after that and just leave your question. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Hi, Justin and Steve. My name's Jeff. I'm 30 years old. I have all of my 401k in a Roth. I was just wondering if there are any benefits to having some of my 401k in a Roth and in a regular 401k. I know one's pre-tax, one post-tax, but other than that, I mean, I'm not super well-versed in it. So just wondering if there are benefits to having some in both since my employer allows me to do that. All right. Thanks a lot. I'll listen for the answer. Bye.
I would say yes. There is an argument to have some in both. Remember, a Roth grows tax-free. And when you take the money out at the end of the time period, you don't ever have to pay taxes on it. But you have to pay taxes on the money you put in it at the time you put the money in. A regular IRA, you get to deduct the investment, however much money you put it in at the beginning. You get to deduct it from your adjusted gross income. And then it grows, but then you got to pay taxes on all of it when it comes out. So why wouldn't you want to do a Roth if you're younger? And in fact, the younger you are, the better the Roth looks. But one of the arguments when you're younger, and let's say you're now in your 30s and then your 40s, your income probably goes up, so your tax rate probably goes up. And you could use any tax break you can. In a regular IRA, you get to deduct that. On the other end, when you have both Roth and regular IRAs, well, you can always take out some of the regular IRA and make sure you can stay in the lowest tax bracket and then take some out of the Roth IRA. If you happen to have a year that you're retired, but a year you made a lot of money for some reason, you did some kind of special job, well, you don't have to take any money out of that regular IRA that year and take whatever you need out of the Roth. It gives you a little bit of freedom in your retirement. That's what I like about it, too. So there's a couple of things that kind of lend me to believe that, yeah, you might want to do both, but it's all about taxes. Everything is about how taxes, you know, tax treatment. And, of course, that changes over time, too. So it's hard to know. Is it possible to anticipate likely occurrences in 2017 and make investments taking these into account? Tailoring your approach to likely policy changes. That's one of our talking points today. In other words, should you do anything based on what might happen in government? I think that's a valid question. Goldman Sachs says, brace for a trade war with China. Well, we touched on possible trade issues, so we're going to talk about that in more detail. If you want to retire early, I have some suggestions. I got six suggestions. People tell me I want to retire 50 or 55. Well, if you're 40, 30, 40, you want to retire early, here's going to be some suggestions that are pretty easy to understand, just very difficult to implement. But if you want to retire early, you can. It's just painful. It's painful in the here and now while you're trying to get to that retirement. And I didn't get to it the other day. Well, I think it was last week. Some of the revelations, three revolutions in the making when we're talking about investments that's happening right now that not too many people are paying attention to. It's a revolution in the way how to invest. And I don't know if they're good or bad. I think we need to explore it, whether they are or aren't. I'm not sure. So we're going to talk about that too. The market was up today, Dow up 118, the NASDAQ up 32, and the S&P up 13. So we had an up day, not a lot going on. You notice the market's pretty quiet last, I don't know, week or two. Pretty darn quiet, not doing much. Okay, maybe it's just gathering strength to make another run up. Maybe it's gathering strength to sell off. No one really knows. And there was an article the other day in one of the newspapers, I think either Investor's Business Daily or I think it was Investor's Business Daily, and it had numbers out on the hedge funds' returns for last year. Remember, hedge funds are those funds that are massive, and they're supposed to be really, really smart people, and they take lots of risks to make a lot of money. That's how most people know what hedge funds are. Hedge funds do different things. They don't all do the same thing, but I do like to go over every so often, every year, what they did the year before. Excuse me. Some of the major hedge funds, like the Tiger Global Management Hedge Fund, which is really big, they lost 15%. Then there's the Lee Ansell Hedge Fund, which is Maverick Capital Limited. They lost 10%. It's an $11 billion hedge fund. Viking Global Investors, another big fund, they lost 4%. And Mr. Robinson's hedge fund, those are the funds that did really, made a killing during the housing fall. Remember that movie they made about him and how much money he made? Well, he has several hedge funds, several, and they were some had small gains and some had small losses for last year. So the hedge funds don't make money every year, everybody. Matter of fact, they lose a lot of money many years, and then they make a killing. It's the way they work, and they do different things. You can't really rely on, But these are some of the biggest hedge funds and what they did. So their calls were not very good last year, what they thought would work. I'm financial advisor and licensed. Well, I'm not. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. A father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Want to talk about college savings plans? Which one is best? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about almost anything financial. As long as it's financial, I'll talk about it. Tailoring your investing approach to anticipate likely policy change, U.S. government policy changes. Should you do that? And my answer is yes, you should. And it doesn't mean that you change your entire portfolio. It means you just realize what is likely going to happen. For instance, let's talk about what's going to happen to interest rates in 2017. It's likely that the Federal Reserve is going to bump them up. 1, 2, 3 times? I don't know how much, but the odds are really, really high, just like they were last year. So should you tailor your investment choices for that? Well, of course. Maybe it's not a good idea to buy long-term bonds, long-term bond funds, medium-term bond funds. Maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe it's smarter to buy TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds. So there's a policy change or a policy direction that you can easily identify. Not all of them are all that easy. But another thing we know what's going to happen in 2017. We know that there's going to be a tax cut of some kind. We don't know how big, where it is. We know, so likely, remember these are likely corporate earnings are going to get a bump from that. Right? At the same time, we know that the new president is going to try to reduce paperwork. How successful it will be and what the ultimate outcome of that, no one knows. But we know that's the policy coming out of the federal government. Therefore, who's that going to benefit? Of course, it's going to benefit, and that's going to mean better profits. And that's probably why the stock market's holding up pretty darn well. So these are the kinds of policy changes that you should consider. Another one that is not positive for the market is, of course, trade. What might happen there? So what will that affect? This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. When you're Invest Talk Insider, you have instant access to useful information, useful assets like a list of ETFs that hold a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Just wanted to give you guys a call to see what you thought about Teva CEO stepping down and the stock dropping 5%+. Are you still going to hold tight on your position in Teva? Are you going to sell? Are you going to buy more? Just wanted to get your take. Thanks so much for the show, guys. Bye-bye.
Now, Teva's been Teva, everybody. Teva Pharmaceuticals, Israel developer of generic specialty and over-the-counter drugs and active pharmaceutical ingredients. It's a $32 billion company. They're going to make $5.11 this year. That's 6% less than last year. And then another 5% less next year to $4.83. Sales have recently turned around in the recent couple of quarters. Most recent quarter, they were up 15%, but we're waiting for the fourth quarter. We haven't got those numbers yet. So we'll see. But Teva's been under a lot of pressure, different ways, different things. People's other companies trying to sue them about their certain drugs, and there's been an investigation of possible bribery by Teva. But this is what I think. All that is already built in. We already know that. Everybody already knows that. The stock went from $55, $56 earlier in the middle of last year to $32. All that was because of that information. Pays a 3.8% dividend. 3.6% dividend. Yes, I'm still going to hold it. I think it's at a very good price to buy still, and it's kind of chattering around here about $32, between $32 and $34 for the last, I don't know, month or so. And I think I'm not trading it. I'm in it for the long haul. I think, you know, they're going to turn that dollar. They're going to make $4.83 next year. Well, okay, I think that's going to be probably the low. If they make $4.83 next year, it's a $32 stock. That means the PE is well below 10, right? So what if they make $5 next year? You know, that's not very unrealistic, especially sales have just recently turned around. So I like it. I like Teva. And it's more of a long-term investment and not a short-term, because I think they got some really good fundamentals behind them. Those fundamentals of theirs, you know, the CEO left. That might be the mark of the bottom. I'm hoping it is. We'll see. Teva, T-E-V-A is the number. Some say it's called Teva. I don't know exactly which one is right. Goldman Sachs says, brace yourself for trade war with China. Now, that's always the headline, right? Trade war with China, oh my God. Well, there's going to be a confrontation, and it's probably going to be unavoidable, okay, with Trump in the White House. I mean, you know it's pretty unavoidable. He's always picked a fight with NAFTA, and he's going to want to renegotiate that. This is nothing more than what he said he was going to do when he was running for the office, so he's just doing what he said he was going to do. And you know, China, which is a much bigger foe to take on than like NAFTA, which is Mexico and Canada. You ever notice that no one ever talks about Canada when they talk about NAFTA? That's a free trade agreement between Canada, U.S., and Mexico. Not just U.S. and Mexico. So when he talks about renegotiating NAFTA, is he going to renegotiate with Canada too? Never mentioned that. No one ever talks about that. I wonder why. Anyways, you know he's going to address China somewhere. Now, he could do it in a small way, or starting out small by maybe setting up tariffs against certain imports that's coming in from China, because, you know, there's been allegations of them dumping their cheap stuff here because they won't, they're way overproducing, and they just won't stop dumping it wherever they can dump their stuff, steel, aluminum, you know, that kind of thing. So he can brand them as a currency manipulator, which would cause a lot of different issues. He also could go big and just cross the board charge huge tariffs. I don't think so. I think it's more he's going to go small, but very public. You know, at least a beginning with. And I guarantee you there's going to be confrontation. Have you noticed that's how the new president does business? With confrontation. You notice that? That's how he does business. Read his book, The Art of the Deal. Confrontation. That's how you do business. So he's just using that. He's not a polished politician. He's not. So I think we as investors just have to realize what we're dealing with here. And there is going to be maybe not a trade war, but certainly confrontation with China. He's going to want to talk the dollar down. How's he going to do that when he's pushing the economy to grow stronger? He wants. You know, so what does he have to do? He has to, this is like super interesting to me to see how this whole thing is going to pan out. from an investor's point of view, this should be fun. I'm enjoying the wags and wiggles of what's going on here and how it's going to result in our investment. So far, it's been a good result, but we'll see how long that'll last. Okay, we're headed into part two of our Thursday Invest Talk, everybody. Have you a question about how to sell a stock or when to sell a stock? You know, selling a stock is so much more difficult than buying. We only talk about buying. Selling is a lot harder. How do you know how to sell? Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. We're live between the hours of 4 and 5 Pacific time every day, Monday through Friday. 888-992-4278.
Our podcast will continue next, but first, a little commercial announcement. It's pretty standard financial advice. You need to look after your portfolio. The market changes, trends change, companies change, life changes. You've got to estimate how long your savings are going to last. You may want to dial down the risk in your portfolio, or maybe even increase it for the potential of higher returns. So a portfolio checkup is a wellness check that everyone should do from time to time. Will your current plan sustain you through your retirement? What adjustments should you be making right now? Well, no matter where you live in the USA, Steve can review your retirement portfolio, check out your documents, offer some suggestions, or take a look at KPP's plans if you'd like. To schedule a time that works for you and Steve, just click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Now let's get back to the podcast. On our next Invest Talk, the list of options is overwhelming. Prices vary wildly, and options from friends and family can be conflicting. Three clues for finding your first ETF. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Samantha in Centerville. How are you doing, Samantha?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Okay, I have a question. First-time caller, first-time listener, first-time meeting with a financial advisor last week.
Okay.
Question is this. What would you recommend? I have three different options. I have ESP options, I have Fidelity IRA, and I have 401k with Merrill Lynch. It was suggested that I use a portion of my portfolio and buy a 12-year annuity that has no downside, don't lose a principal, small upside, but it will give me a residual income at retirement.
And they're recommending that you use the money out of your IRA or 401k to buy the annuity?
Uh-huh. So moving my money out of the IRA, not all of it, a portion of it, and then invest the other portion of it.
Okay. I think that's not a very good idea because an annuity, there's two kinds of annuities. There's a fixed annuity and a variable annuity. I'm assuming is it a fixed annuity they're selling you or a variable annuity they want to sell you?
I think it's a variable.
Okay.
Actually, I can tell you, I have it right here.
A variable annuity is one that...
non-guaranteed annuity, Prime Pack 12.
Okay, it's a variable. Non-guaranteed means a variable. A fixed annuity is almost like a CD. What an annuity is it a contract between you and an insurance company. And an annuity is a tax-deferred instrument. So whatever you earn in an annuity is tax-deferred. You don't have to pay any taxes on it. But a 401k or an IRA is already tax deferred. So it never makes sense to me to put a tax deferred instrument inside a tax deferred instrument. And so therefore I wouldn't do it just for that reason. I also wouldn't do annuity because they're expensive. There's a lot of hidden fees, a lot of costs. Whoever's selling to you gets a very good size commission to sell it to you. And it just never, you know, yes, they say there's no doubt. Remember, it's a contract with an insurance company. They can say whatever they want in there. And every time I've ever talked to anybody who's been an annuity, they always want to get out of it. I don't know why per se, but there's very few people I ever talk to who say, oh, I really like my annuity. I never hear. Try to find somebody who has an annuity and ask them what they think.
Well, that's why I was asking about it, because my girlfriend has an annuity, and she said that she got a pretty good return on it. And this financial advisor said there's no cost associated with it. Basically, you're moving your money into kind of like a locked annuity. So I'm confused when you say
I guarantee you he is absolutely lying if he says there's no costs. It's a bold-faced lie. There's commissions, and there's fees, and there's annual costs on every annuity. Every time you buy a mutual fund inside an annuity, the mutual fund has a cost as well. So that is so untrue. I would find another someone to talk to about it. I'm not a big fan of annuities.
What would you recommend as far as trying to grow, my money? I'm 45. I'm hoping to retire around 60, maybe.
If you want to maximize the most money you can, you just keep buying an index fund, mutual fund, an index ETF of the S&P 500. You would make a lot more money in that than in the annuity. And now you're trading. Annuity likes to sell you, but you never go down. Well, over any 10-year period of the stock market's never gone down. 10 years. It's always gone up. So they're not giving you anything. Oh, isn't that great? Yeah. What do you think the insurance could, let me put it this way, Samantha. I used to work for insurance companies in New York City. What do you think they do with that money that you give them? They invest it in the stock market.
Okay. So good on the annuity.
Okay.
So do you have any suggestions on mutual funds or ETFs?
No, I can't do that. I'm a money manager myself, a registered investment advisor, and I can't make just blanket recommendations over the air. Only those people that have shows and don't manage other people's money can make recommendations over the air. People who manage other people's money can't. I can answer questions, but I can't make blanket recommendations. The SEC won't let me. Okay.
So if I ask you about a specific one, could you say, bullish or?
Yes.
How about GDX?
Now, GDX is the gold mining index. That's the gold miners. And I kind of like that right at this point. I'm not a big gold bug person, but I do think that. I do think that that might work for at least the next year or two. So I wouldn't bet the farm at. You'd always spread out all your risk. But we have a number of gold mining companies in one of our managed accounts. So we like them. We've done very well with them this year so far, too. Last year, too, even though in the middle of the part of the year went down. But for the over year, that we did very well last year. So I kind of like it. Thanks, Samantha. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's my number. What do you want to talk about? How about, I mentioned last week, three kind of revolutions going on in the investment environment. Three revolutions. Massive changes from when I first started investing many years ago. And it's just interesting to find out what's happening. Investors are fleeing individual stocks and flocking to mutual funds and ETFs. Now, mutual funds have always been popular, but the investors are no longer really buying individual stocks. They're buying the indexes. So that's a huge change. Used to be you would buy, your big corporations and then have some risk with the smaller corporations. Investors are flocking to target-dated funds. Those are very new kind of things, only the last few years. And everybody just loves them. I think they're terrible investments. I think they're bad. Why? Because the target-dated funds means that you put a date of your retirement and they just you get to put it automatic. It is simple for you. It's simple for the mutual fund who does it. But what they're doing is you're totally ignoring the reality of the environment and the market you're in. So the target date fund automatically, quote unquote, gets more conservative as you get closer to the target date, meaning more and more bond funds. And maybe interest rates are super low and bond funds aren't going to work. They just ignore it. Number three, everybody's dumping actively traded mutual funds for index funds. Now, are these things good, bad, or different? I can't really tell you if they're good. I don't necessarily think they're good or bad necessarily. What I think they are is currently very popular. And when something becomes very popular, I become suspicious. I become nervous. I become doubtful. Why are people dumping actively traded mutual funds? Well, because it's been proven over and over and over and over again that index funds work better over long periods of time. That is absolutely true. Over short periods of time, when the market's just bearish, they don't work. So those index funds tank, and the actively managed funds generally do better. And I told you why I think flocking into target data funds is not right. I think it's just too simplistic. And then, should investors flee individual stocks for funds or ETFs or indexes? Well, I think they should if they don't want to put the work in to figure out what stocks they should have. Excuse me. So there are reasons that this is going on. Whether it's good or bad, that's hard to know. It's really hard to know. How about a one-to-one meeting with me on Skype or on the telephone? I schedule some time each month to do these things. The purpose for you is to get a second opinion on your portfolio and explain to how we work if you're interested. And, it's all, very low-key. It's a matter of trying to help you. If you'd like to set up a time with me, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Did you know KPP Financial offers a complete range of real estate services? For many investors, a decision about real estate will factor big in their financial lives at one time or another. And whether it's a question of selling your home and downsizing, or maybe you're looking into income property as an investment, KPP Financial can help you make the best possible decision. If you'd like to talk more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin. He'll look forward to talking with you.
This is Dan from New York. I have a question for Steve. I'm looking to add two stocks to my Roth account. I would like to know if you could help me with answering three questions on both of them. One of the questions is it a value stock? Two, the entry point, and three, the resistance. My first stock is Verizon, VZ, and my second stock is Con Ed, ED. Thank you for all that you do. Greatly appreciate it. Longtime podcaster. Look forward to your answer.
So VZ Verizon is a very big blue chip, communication stock. Everybody knows who they are. And you buy the stock because you like the dividend, 4.7%. And you try to buy it when it's cheap. Now, in the last year, for it to be cheap is like in the mid 40s, 45, 46. It's at 48 now. And in the last year, it's got up to about 54, 55 as a high. It's done that twice, by the way. So I'm thinking that it's probably a pretty decent buy price. It may not be the absolute bottom, but it's pretty decent. And you're collecting 4.7%. So Verizon, I like Verizon. Got to remember, it's not going to be a growth stock. It's not. It's a value stock. And it's going to make $4 next year. It's a $48 stock. So that's a 12 PE. Its five-year range is 10 to 22, so it's pretty close to its low end. So maybe it would be a good time to buy it. But again, you're not buying it because it's going to go up. You're buying it for that dividend, and you're hoping that it will go up. Hopefully it will. Now, Con Edison, the symbol is ED. ED. They pay a 3.7% dividend. Their earnings are dropping a little bit today, this year, and then bumping up again a little bit next year. But they also are a big blue chip company, $22 billion, not nearly as big as Verizon. And they're going to make $4.14. It's a $74 stock. That stock is not cheap. That's expensive. It's at the high end of its five-year PE range, and I would not buy it at this point. It's not cheap enough. For me to consider it, I would rather see you buy it in the mid-60s. It's at 74. Maybe that would be cheap enough for me to consider it. I think you'd be better off with Verizon. I wouldn't buy Con Edison. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how much, you know, there's various, we talked about the revolutions. How about, and we talked about Goldman Sachs and how they think there's going to be a trade war with China. I mean, that didn't take a, I don't think there's going to be a trade war. I love how they use these inflammatory terms. Trade war. Not a trade disagreement or, you know, tensions on trade. No, it's a trade war. Grab your attention. Now, if you want to retire early, which everybody seems like I talk to want to do that, and I've told you before and I'm going to tell you again, retirement is not stop working. That's not what retirement is. Retirement is to stop doing what you have to do and go do what you want to do, whatever that is. It could be making money or not making money. It could be doing the same thing you're doing now, but maybe less hours a week. I don't care. But if you stop, if you think you're just going to retire and do nothing, you are on the wrong track. You're going to bore yourself out of your mind. You're going to be a very unhappy person. But if you do want to retire early, it's not hard as far, let me put it this way. It's simple, okay? It's simple, but it is very difficult to achieve this simplicity here. What do you got to do? You want to retire early. This is all you have to do. Save more money. Save more money. You got to save 15, 20% of your paycheck every time, every month. And you got to be consistent and methodical about it. You can't just say, oh, I'll save money this paycheck, but not next paycheck. No, it's got to be save more money, do it every paycheck, same amount, 15, 20%, and whenever you get a raise, you save all that raise. That's what it takes. That's what's going to take. It takes that. Also, on the other side, stop spending and borrowing. Spend less than you earn. That if you say you make X amount of dollars, you're going to save 20% of that. That means you get 80% to put in your pocket, whatever it is. That's all you get to spend. That's it. You don't borrow money or buy more stuff more than that. That net, and you got to do it consistently for years, 10, 15, 20 years. You can't do it just for a short period of time. Another way, if you run them really tire early, stay in stocks for the long term. Quit trying to guess what direction the market's going to take. You don't know. You don't know when to get out, when to go in. Don't panic out. Don't panic in. Just stay consistent in the market. That you get you that the, you do that, and you'll retire early. Now, if you're 64 and you want to retire early at 65. Ain't gonna happen, you know, if you don't have the money. This has gotta be done early. And I guarantee that most people can't do this. It's just not possible. Not possible. Okay, Carolyn and Marin. How you doing, Carolyn?
Good, thank you.
Oh, Carolyn, I'm gonna have to hold you on to the next break. I'm sorry, I just ran out of time because I got too verbose in my talking about saving money. You're listening to InvestTalk, everybody. A reminder, if you can't get near a phone or you'd like to ask a question directly, just go to InvestTalk.com, click on Contact Steve, and I promise I'll get back to you. I'm sorry, Carolyn. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for holding.
You're welcome. So my question is, I'm new to this. Looking at investing. I'm 49 years old. I don't really have anything put away.
Okay.
And I've been told that marijuana is today what Microsoft was in 86.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what you thought of that.
Who told you that? Where'd you hear that?
People.
Okay. I'll give you something that you should always remember. Never, ever, ever invest on a tip from anybody. They're always wrong. Is marijuana the new Microsoft? No. Marijuana is still against the law federally. Many states are approving it and making it legal by the states, but the federal government can come in and shut down every one of those marijuana operations if they wanted to. Everyone, because they all violate federal law. See, so you know, whether or not I think that they're probably here to stay. I really do. But everybody, and I have been talking about this for a while, everybody already knows about it. So all these marijuana little startup companies are way expensive because everybody thinks it's going to be the next great thing. And I'll tell you this, Carolyn, when everybody thinks something, it's way too late for you or me. It's too late.
Oh, okay.
You have to think outside the box as to what is going to be big next that no one has thought of. That's the hard part. Or you buy stocks everybody hates because they've already been, the stock has already been beaten up. In other words, it's already way down. But it's a good, solid company, and it will eventually come back. That's how you invest. Do not invest on any tips or any suggestions from somebody else. If someone tells you this is going to be a billion-dollar winner stock, run the other way because they have no idea. They're lying. They don't know. I don't know.
I'm glad I asked you.
Okay, Carol. That doesn't mean that there
won't
be.
Thank you very much.
There won't, Carol, just so you know, there won't. That doesn't mean there won't be winners in the marijuana stock industry. There very may well be, but it's too popular right now. Everybody knows about it. It's not, so you got to stay away from it. Okay? Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART. Oh, are we running getting close out of time, everybody? Or are we getting close to being out of time? Okay, where do you think the market's going to go after we've seen a pretty long here now sideways movement? Remember, we've had a Trump rally, right? I think we all can conclude that the Trump rally is still in place, but it's lost a lot of its steam. And I'm thinking, you know, stock market long-term always goes up. We all know that, right? But it can't go up as fast as it has since the beginning of this year. That's not going to happen. And then it doesn't go up in a straight line. I just can't tell you, I really can't tell you when it's going to have that correction. I felt that we were going to have the correction. If you remember right, I felt we were going to have the correction if right after the election. But we did had no, we had a one-day correction. When I say one day, it was overnight. So and ever since then, the market's moved up. And Trump keeps coming out with these statements. You know, he's very famous for his statements that pushes stocks higher. But at some point, talk is not going to be enough. So we gotta, you know, we're going to need some substantial backup from some of the things he's saying to make investors think, well, okay, then the stock market's going to go up. Remember, the stock market is already very expensive. Now, how much more expensive we can get, I don't know. You can go up much higher. It doesn't have to stay. It can be way overpriced because it's based on what people think. You know, there's the emotional component of stocks in the stock market. That emotional component can push stocks up very high, very unreasonable based on its fundamentals. Fundamentally, we're way overpriced because everybody thinks corporate earnings are going to go up much nicer next year. Well, it probably will because the comparisons from last year, they weren't very good last year. So the comparisons are going to be better. And if corporations get a tax break like Trump is promising, and the market could keep going up on that news. Can. But trust me, it's not going to be in a straight line. It's not. Our time's up for this hour. Are you one of our InvestTalk insiders? It's a free service, making information and education available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including our webinars, which you can play whenever you want to. You can sign up for free at InvestTalk.com by clicking on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.